If you want to turn over with me to the book of Romans, getting to the end of it. We're almost there. Romans chapter 15, we're down to verse 16. He says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So going forward here in verse 16, Paul expresses his plan, his pattern, his goals, his prayer for the ministry. And this morning, that's what we're going to look at. What is Paul's part in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is his desire? What is his plan? Let's first open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can come and just take a moment. Open up your word. Listen to it. Hear it. Let it convict us. Let it change our hearts. We just pray that you'll teach us something this morning through the word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. And again, we thank you for a wonderful morning, Lord. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. This morning, we're going to have a lot of verses, so you may want to take some notes. We're going to jump around a little bit. But I always want to back up everything I say with Scripture. So you may want to take some notes. But in verse 8 of 15 here, the Apostle Paul says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision." So in verse 8, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. We get over here to verse 16. It says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. I think we all know who the Apostle Paul was. He used to be Saul. And the mystery was revealed to him. There's something secret that was revealed to him. And now at this time, the Apostle Paul is a minister to the Gentiles. You can look at the beginning of each and every book that the Apostle Paul wrote. And he starts out, look at 1 Corinthians right there. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. We talked about it at the beginning of Romans chapter 1. If you get some time this afternoon, look at the beginning of each book that the Apostle Paul wrote. Romans chapter 1 verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. The apostle Paul was called for something, and it was the will of God. There's a lot of people out there that may say that he was supposed to be one of the 12. There was no option for him to be one of the 12. If you look back with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, turn there with me. At this time, they're trying to pick the 12th disciple. In Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, it says, "Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." When they were picking the 12th disciple, there was only two options that they could choose from. You had to follow his entire earthly ministry from the baptism of John all the way up to the resurrection, to the ascension of Jesus. And you had to witness that as well. The Apostle Paul wasn't even saved at this point because he was called for something else. He was called for something different. For you to be a 12th disciple, the requirements were that man had to have been with them the entire time of Jesus' ministry. So there was only two options. It didn't matter which one of those two that they chose. But God had a plan and a purpose. Look over with me to Galatians chapter 2. As I was saying there in Romans chapter 15, you can see that Jesus was ministered to the circumcision. After the Apostle Paul got saved, he was revealed something. He was revealed the mystery program. He was revealed a secret message. But in Galatians chapter 2, it says here, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. So again, he's telling them about the gospel that he preaches. But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's persons. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Look at verse 7 through 9. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So Peter and Paul have this meeting. They get together. And they have this discussion. And you can see in verse 7, it says, contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Peter was preaching the message that Jesus was preaching. He was preaching to the nation of Israel. He was preaching to the circumcision. Paul was preaching to the uncircumcision, the Gentile nation. And we can see that time and time again that the Apostle Paul's message was to the body of Christ. Look back with me to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. We're going to tie a couple different verses here in chapter 15 and 16. So we said in 15, verse 16, it says that I should be the minister of the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul also says in 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Anything that is written before the Apostle Paul is written for our learning, not for us to apply to our lives, not for us to go out and attempt to do. Many people divide the Scripture among Old and New Testament. We believe here at Grace Bible Church, we look at the Word of God in a dispensational approach. And the word dispensation just basically means, in the Greek, is oikonomia, which means household of rules. Throughout the Word of God, God dealt with man differently in different time periods. There was always salvation. There was always the cross coming. But in each and every dispensation, there was a different type of salvation. You can look at Adam and Eve. In Adam and Eve in the garden, the dispensation of innocence, they only had to abide by one rule, and that was not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they would have lived forever. And as we continue to move forward, we can see these different dispensations. But what is written before the Apostle Paul, we can learn from. There's characteristics there. We can learn what Jesus is like, who he is, and what he is. But we cannot take it and apply it to our lives. You will not go back to the Old Testament and say, oh, it's raining. The last couple days look like a flood here. And we're not going to build an ark because Noah was supposed to build an ark. That's not written to us. We can learn from the life of Noah. We can learn who God was and how it was. But then we get up to the Apostle Paul and he becomes saved and he receives this message from the Lord Jesus Christ, this mystery program. And if you look over with me to Romans 16, verse 25, Romans 16, verse 25, it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. There's so much in verse 16, verse 25, and we're going to dive into it in a couple weeks a lot more in depth. But first of all, he talks about a mystery. The Apostle Paul was revealed a mystery to him. The rapture was a mystery. It was only revealed to the Apostle Paul, and you cannot find it anywhere else in Scripture except between Romans and Philemon. The body of Christ is a mystery. It's a secret. You cannot find it anywhere else but in Pauline epistles. Jew and Gentile being one is part of the mystery. And we'll go a lot more in depth in these once we get over to Romans chapter 16, verse 25. But these are different things. If you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the nation of Israel was God's chosen people. They were chosen, they were supposed to be lifted up, and the Gentile would become part of the nation of Israel. But we've been talking about it a little bit on Wednesday night, but when they stoned Stephen at the rejection of the Holy Spirit, that was the final straw, and he said, I am done with the nation of Israel. Now again, from the beginning of time, God had a plan. From the beginning of time, God knew what was going to happen. God knew that the nation of Israel would reject him. God knew that he was going to save Paul. God knew that he would bring in the body of Christ. And his plan was so that he could save all mankind. If you want to jump back with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Like I said, so here in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Again, it's not only for the Gentiles, it's for the body of Christ. But he's trying to make a difference between the Jewish nation and Gentiles. The Apostle Paul did not go to the nation of Israel. He did not preach the same message as the 12 did. Verse 2, he says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. This was never revealed before. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. The Apostle Paul is the first one to receive this. If it's a secret, if it's a mystery, and it's revealed to the Apostle Paul, who else knows about it? The 12 did not know anything about this. Today, if I tell my wife a secret, all of her friends are going to know about that secret. But in the Word of God, when it talks about a secret and a mystery, it was not revealed to anyone else. Jesus didn't accidentally tell somebody about the mystery program. And at the end, I'll tell you why. He continues on, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed. The mystery program was not revealed before, but now it is. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The word unsearchable means untraceable. You can't find anything that the Apostle Paul teaches. Yes, like I said, you can learn about God's love. You can learn about, but doctrinally speaking, you cannot find anything else what the Apostle Paul teaches except in his scriptures. He goes on, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. He says it again. It's our job to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. It's our job to reveal to them what is the secret. The rapture, the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile being one. The Jews, they received physical blessings. The body of Christ receives spiritual blessings. We're seated in the heavenlies. The Jews are going to receive an earthly kingdom. And that earthly kingdom is still going to come. And it's going to happen. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verse 25 through 27. Whereof I am made a minister. Again, the Apostle Paul is made a minister according to the dispensation of God. Again, there's that word again. God dealing with man, different time periods, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So it was hidden before. The Apostle Paul now says it's revealed. It's made manifested to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you jump back with me to Romans 16, 25, the other word that he puts in there, he says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. The Apostle Paul is not prideful. He is not egotistical. He is not saying that he is the only one. That every word in the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. He is trying to make a point that his gospel is different than Peter's. Doesn't mean Peter's didn't save people at that time period. It was a different dispensation. Peter preached, repent and be baptized. The Apostle Paul is preaching a different message. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Told you to get your hand pen out and start writing notes. Romans chapter 2, verse 16 says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Again, the Apostle Paul says, my gospel. You can see that in 2 Timothy 2:8. 2 Timothy 2:8 says the same thing. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. We need to comprehend that. We need to understand that. He has a different gospel than Peter and the 12. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 starts the same way again. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So number one, he's telling them, anybody and everybody back then, I think, knew who Saul was. Somehow he had to prove to them that he was legitimate. He had to prove to them that he was from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's no different today. I think we fight this a little bit today. But he says, Paul, apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. He was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ by the will of God. You can jump down to verse 6. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He's disappointed with the Galatians because they're steering clear of it. They're not listening to the gospel. You can see in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And the problem with the gospel is we can add a little bit to it and ruin it. We can take a little bit out of it and ruin it. By twisting it, by perverting it, by messing it up, we can mess up the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ planned for from the beginning of time. Look at verse 8 and 9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we which have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he repeats it, verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. The Apostle Paul says, if you preach any other gospel than what I'm telling you today, you will be accursed. And that could be condemned, that could be sent to hell, that could be many different things. But if you're not preaching Paul's gospel, you're missing the point. And you may say, well, what is that? What am I missing? What is the gospel for today? If you tell me Peter's not preaching it, if it's not baptism, if it's not works, if it's not going to church, if it's not giving, what is the gospel for today? And this is another part of the mystery. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was absolutely prophesied in Scripture. But it was never prophesied that it was for salvation until the Apostle Paul. Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to go to the cross, that he's going to raise again in 3 days. All this is going to occur. Did Peter and the 12 believe it? If Peter and the 12 believed that Jesus Christ was going to raise from the dead, they would have been sitting at the tomb that day. There was no one there. Jesus woke up, rose from the grave, and there was not a soul there. That doesn't mean Peter and the 12 weren't saved. They were saved unto repent and be baptized. They were saved that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but they didn't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is another part of the mystery. The Apostle Paul revealed many things to us. He was called to be a minister to the Gentiles. He was called to be a minister to the body of Christ. Yes, he preached to the Jewish people. He started in the synagogues hoping to convert them, probably to apologize for what he had done to them, to tell them they were following Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." If from the beginning of time, Jesus Christ said, "Hey, I'm going to send my son to the earth. He's going to live 33 years. You're going to crucify him. He's going to raise from the dead. And that is my salvation plan." Satan would have never crucified the Lord of glory. That's not my words. That's the words here. "For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." If the 12 disciples knew that when Jesus Christ would raise from the dead the third day, if the 12 knew it, Satan would have known it. All of it had to be kept secret. All of it had to be a mystery. All of it could not be revealed until after it happened. Jesus Christ had a plan. He was going to say, "Hey, I'm going to set up the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. They will reject me 3 times. At the stoning of Stephen, I will raise up the Apostle Paul, and he will be somebody that bears my name before the Gentiles. He will go to the Gentiles and preach my name." Before the Apostle Paul, it was repent and be baptized. Before the Apostle Paul, it was Jesus Christ was the Son of God. After the Apostle Paul, our salvation is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the gospel for today. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." So we read earlier, the Apostle Paul said, "My gospel, my gospel, my gospel." This is the Apostle Paul's gospel, "which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." All you have to do is put your faith and trust in that. If you believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross, that he paid for your sins 2,000 years ago, and that he rose from the dead, you will have eternal life. It's not giving money to the church. It's not coming to church. It's not doing good. It's not walking an old lady across the street. It's not being baptized. It's not being circumcised. It's not. There's no work that can save us except for the work that Jesus Christ did himself. The Apostle Paul was sent to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul was sent to the body of Christ. His ministry was to reveal this. Back to Romans chapter 15, verse 16, and we'll try to wrap this up. But he says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ by the will of God, ministering the gospel of God. The gospel that he preached was Jesus Christ paid for your sins, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And there's nothing you can take or add to it. Don't pervert it. Don't twist it. Preach that gospel and you won't be accursed. Because in Galatians, he talks about it where you will be accursed. But it had to be kept a secret. And like I said, next couple weeks when we get over to Romans chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." We'll talk about all those different parts of the mystery. The rapture, the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile being one. You can see a lot of differences. And when you begin to rightly divide the word of truth, you can see that there's a distinction between the nation of Israel and the body of Christ. Let us close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your ultimate plan. We knew from the beginning of time that you had a perfect plan. You knew that Adam and Eve would mess up. You knew that the nation of Israel would reject you 3 times. You knew that the Apostle Paul would come, you would blind him, and you would bring him in to a saving knowledge of your Son, that he would reveal the mystery to the body of Christ. He would reveal all these amazing doctrines to the body of Christ. You knew how we would react. You knew that we would be here today. You knew what we would do today. But you had to keep that a secret so that the Satan, Lucifer, would go through the plan and crucify you to have the ultimate sacrifice so we could have eternal security, so we could have salvation. Your Son went to the cross, knowing the plan from the beginning. Nobody here on earth understood it. Nobody understood, yes, it was prophesied, but it was kept secret so that we could have salvation through your death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son. And we thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.